Credits. Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Mangan.
He would have an enormous Schwanzstucke.
A.K.A. IG-88 the Bounty Hunter. This is Deadpan Episode 16, which means that you can no longer count the episodes on three of your hands. Apologies to Zaphod Beeblebrox and to Judd Nelson in The Dark Backward. Okay, this episode is going to set records because I have a really long duel interview and tons of content. So I'm going to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Fred for your kind donation. If you'd like to be cool like Fred, then find the donations button on the right-hand side at www.jackmangan.com. Another way to be cool would be to go to the creativeguypublishing.com site and order your copy of Spherical Tomy, the chapbook, the print chapbook, which is available now. And talk to me, we can media mail it back and forth, and you can get an autographed copy. In other news, the forums are up and people are responding, and good deal, good job, everyone. And finally, I forgot to mention last week, I have a MySpace account now. It's just myspace.com/Jack Mangan. MySpace seems to be like this pandemic global venereal disease. As soon as you bring it up, everyone just acts disgusted and revolted. But then, you know, then they admit that they have it too. So if you have MySpace and you haven't already, then feel free to add me as your friend. All right, like James Brown says, I want to get into it, man. Let's get into it.
Spherical, can you tell me?
Spherical, tell me.
Spherical, can you tell me?
Spherical, tell me.
Spherical, can you tell me?
Spherical, tell me.
Hey.
Spherical, tell me.
You're listening to the Deadpan Podcast.
Spherical, tell me.
With Jack Mangan.
Spherical, tell me.
From New Jersey.
Spherical, tell me. Spherical, tell me. Spherical, tell me. Spherical, tell me.
In 1 year, over 170,000 books are published. And out of those 170,000 books, you want the world to read yours. That's when you need The Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. I'm its host, T. Morris.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
The Survival Guide provides an inside look at how authors market and self-promote their works and themselves. You'll hear how author Tony Ruggiero and I, on a limited budget, decide whether or not to visit DragonCon.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I'll drive.
Okay.
You'll get ideas on the best way to handle fans and critics.
You know what the rest of your problem is?
You've never had anybody give you the angina treatment.
And on occasion, I'll feature an interview, like the one I did with Hugo and Nebula winner Rob Sawyer.
But everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Visit www.tmorris.com and enroll for The Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, a podcast of strategies and insights.
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
The following presentation is approved by the Imperial Public Relations Division. IPRD presents Trooper TD-0013. We're the Empire. We're here to help.
Hey, Deadpan listeners. You're very familiar with my next guest. He's a very busy guy, but he's taking some time off of keeping the situation under control in Tatooine to come and talk to us for just a few minutes. Welcome, Deadpan listeners, to TD-0013. Thanks for being on, TD.
Yeah, no problem, Jack.
So tell us a little bit about a day in the life of a sand trooper.
Well, it's pretty much wake up, put my armor back on. Well, before I put the armor back on, sometimes I have to, you know, towel off, depending on who I've been with. But, you know, put the gear on, feed Stewie, go out and try and keep your thankless asses safe, really.
Are some of the alien babes, they're just a little bit greasier than others, or are you talking about droids?
No. It's some of the alien chicks, you know. You know, I seem to know quite a few, and
Some are more receptive than others, you might say.
So tell us a little bit about your Dewback, what his name is and, you know, what he likes to eat and that kind of thing.
Well, it's Stewie. He's an omnivore, you know, which means, you know, for you slopehead, you know, who don't understand what frickin' basic is. Omnivore means he eats vegetable and meat. So he's a meat and a plant eater, which makes it kind of easy to find stuff to feed him.
Jawas?
Well, now see, that's the thing. I actually have very little issue with Jawas.
Okay. You know,
they provide a service. Granted, albeit an illegal one. But I think those are mostly pockets. You know, small pockets within the community. Usually they're pretty good little guys and girls, so to speak. And no, I know where your next question is going. No, I've never been with a Jawa girl.
No, I wasn't going to go there, actually. That's sick. I think you...
It is sick. That's why I figured I'd nip that in the bud.
Moving right along, what about the Tuscan girls?
Well, have you never listened to anything I've ever said, Jack? I can't even tell the difference between the males and the females.
Well, yeah, that's certainly a different point of view, isn't it?
It is. Number five, in fact.
Okay. So, tell us a little bit, or elaborate further, if there's anyone in the Rebellion that really just particularly just irritates the shit out of you. You know, just the mention of their name just drives you batty.
You know, someone I haven't quite touched on, and maybe I'll expound on this a little bit more in a future segment, but Princess Leia deserves a kick to the ovaries, I think.
Okay.
Well, you know, she's the one that started that whole short for a stormtrooper thing. And being the perfect height of 5'8", you have no idea how many times I hear that fragging question.
No, I guess you weren't there. I mean, she did kind of justify her existence a lot more in Return of the Jedi.
Well, yeah, she looked hot. She looked good. You know, then, of course, there's the other angle of why was she laid out so suggestively when that scumbag Skywalker walked into her cell. She wasn't sitting there and she wasn't pacing around. She seemed pretty content. There's a bit of a glow, you might say, about her. She might have learned a little bit about Imperial loving, if you know what I mean.
So are you implying that you were there earlier?
No, I don't do that desk job crap. I work for a living.
All right. Yeah. Although you've been on the Death Star, haven't you? I've heard you mention that you've been lost in the Death Star.
Yeah. One of my first assignments was working on the Death Star. It sucked.
Yeah. So you were, luckily you weren't there. Were you there and you got out during that incident at Yavin, or were you...
Well, I originally got transferred right about, I'd say about 2 months before the plans came up missing. And Vader took a lot of his boys with him and said, hey, we got to go smack some scum around. And, you know, once we got to Tatooine, I was one of the guys they sent down to the planet to try and find the droids.
Okay, so you met the Lars family then?
No, I never met the Lars. By the time I showed up, they were already dead. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I see. No, you can elaborate on that a little bit more, because all the evidence seemed to point to the fact that it was done by Imperial troops.
Again, I ask you, Jack, if you never listen to any of my segments, the Lars farm, these goddamn moisture farmers, has been covered. No. He didn't do it.
I heard your story. I heard your theory on it, but...
Theory. Okay.
Kind of like, you know, that global warming on Tatooine theory.
It's got two suns. Of course there's going to be global warming. I don't care how many Banthas fart in a jar. Jeez, freaking tree huggers. And you know, why are there even tree huggers on freaking Tatooine? There's no trees. Idiots.
Maybe that would be hut huggers, I don't know.
You hug them.
Now, it's interesting. I find it interesting that you've kind of slagged on your boss's children there, You feel comfortable doing that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because, yeah. I don't know, I wouldn't want to, I don't think I'd want to cross your...
Well, you see, I don't disrespect the man in black, but his kids, free territory. I mean, come on. Okay, if my kids were trying to bang each other, I'm pretty much going to be prepared to take a slew of things from other people.
Alright, good point.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, and, you know, there was always that rumor about Chewbacca getting in on that, but I don't even think I want to touch on that, you know.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about, and that's not something I want to go into either.
So now, I understand that you had a kind of a or was your view not so controversial about Tarkin? I understand, you know, you kind of had some interesting theories about him, and...
Well, yeah. He was a rogue agent. Period. There's no proof that he ever got permission from the Empire or the Emperor or, you know, any of the affiliated parties to do what he did. Tarkin was a bit of a loose cannon. Everybody knew that. That's why there are things written about the guy. The Tarkin Initiative. Rule by fear. Yeah. All fine theories and techniques, if you ask me. You know, still, at the same time, doesn't necessarily mean that the Emperor was the guy who said, hey, destroy Alderaan. But at the same time, it was a legitimate military target. Period. Plain and simple.
Okay. Well, I understand, actually, when Tarkin would lift up his shirt, you know, he had a skull tattoo that said, raise hell on his, you know, sunken, emaciated chest. So, I mean, he certainly was a loose cannon, you know. He was a bit off kilter.
Must have been from his TARDIS days. Yeah, I can cross universes. Kiss my ass.
That's very logical.
Well, you know.
All right, so, well, elaborate a little bit further. Tell us a little bit about, you know, on Deadpan, I usually tend to talk about past, present, and future. So tell us a little bit about how you got into the Academy, what made you choose the Empire. Tell us where you are now, and what do you see in the future of for yourself?
Well, I was born on Tatooine, about 3 clicks northwest of Mos Arcus, which is a smaller town. My parents are moisture farmers. This is about the time, I'd say, I was born about 10 years before the Empire came into being. We had a Tusken Raider problem. Continued for pretty much the first 10 years of my life. My family living in terror, and then Palpatine stepped into power and changes happened. Started seeing a lot more guys in white armor patrolling the areas on their dewbacks, trying to protect my family, so... You know, I appreciated that. Showed me that they cared, which was a lot more than I can say about the Republic before it. That's the past. You know, when I was 18, went down to Bestine and signed up. Been doing it ever since.
All right, and all the citizens of the Galactic Republic should thank you, man.
But it's an empire, but yeah, they should.
Sorry.
As far as I'm concerned, it's an empire and it'll always be an empire.
All right, sorry. Put the blaster away. I was, you know, just a mistake. Now, let's touch on that. Before you get into the present and the future, let's touch on that. Now, I didn't realize you were from the neighborhood. Now, so did you know, you didn't know the Lars or Luke Skywalker or the Darklighter family?
No, that's kind of like asking you if you know Prince Charles or Lady Diana because you happen to be from the same planet, Jack. It's not really that likely. No, I didn't know any of the Lars.
Well, yeah.
Or the Darklighters. We've heard of them. You know, we've heard of, like, Biggs because he was Mr. Flashy Pants. Other than that, no. I'd never been to Tashi Station. No reason for it. But I hung out in Isley a bit. You know, when I was on Liberty, when I got out of boot camp, so.
All right. I was going to say, what's the population of Tatooine? Like, 30, you know, 40 people tops? You know, everyone else is flying in and out?
Transit population, but it's a population nonetheless.
All right. So go ahead. I derailed your process there. Tell us a little about, I mean, we know a little bit about where you are now, but go ahead. And then tell us about the future for TD-0013.
Well, I guess the present and the future kind of meld into one for me because it's my mission now and will always remain my mission to set you people straight on a great many things. This little propaganda piece by this George Sukal, you know, this little Star Wars thing, as you people call it, it's all propaganda. It's written from the point of view of the rebellion, and it's the only point of view anyone's ever been privy to for 30 years now. So I decided it was time to set you people straight, let you know what really happened, you know, and that we're not bad guys. We're just guys who joined the army.
All right, so I guess, yeah, that covers your future then, too. Right? Or you got, you know, you got a nice little nest egg and, you got your eye on, like, some little stretch of sand over near the Sarlacc pit or something?
No, not near a Sarlacc. Good Lord, no. It's too poisonous there. But I have been hearing rumors about an oasis. There's rumors that there's actually water on Tatooine, so I figure if anyone's going to find it, the Empire will first, so I'll probably try and get a shack set up there.
All right, you might want to look out for a guy named Paul Muad'Dib. You know, he might be able to help you.
A lot of sand, wrong planet. Yeah, and spice.
Right, sorry, yeah.
That's the more I think about it, how much other stuff has George Lucas ripped off? Anyway.
Yeah, I think I smell a future deadpan segment. It's all right, and the other stock question of mine is how do you make time? And I know it's busy life being a stormtrooper, or sand trooper, excuse me. How do you make time for it? And how do you make, you know, between the alien babes and, you know, with everything else, I mean, how do you have time just to sit back and just read and just kind of think and get in touch with yourself?
Well, as far as reading, I don't do too much of it just because it's just too damn hard. Printed words is very primitive. We don't even deal with that anymore. Everything's on holodisk or comms or, you know, all our entertainment is holographic for the most part. You know, time to get in touch with myself, I leave that up to the ladies. The one thing I try and make time for is Stewie. Because the guy drags me around all day long, you know, so I figure at the end of the day I try and give him a treat and kind of treat him right. I don't have to brush him because he's covered with scales. But, you know, try and spray a little water on him and rub it into his skin. He seems to like that. He's earned it, so.
All right. Yeah, it seems like he's got a huge litter box, too. That must take up a lot of time.
Yeah, that's definitely a big one. That's an every other day chore with him.
So thank you very much for being on, TD. Go crush the rebel scum. And go ahead and I'll give you an opportunity for some parting shots or parting words for deadpan listeners, Rebellion and or Empire sympathizers alike.
I can just sum it up real simple here. Something that you've apparently latched onto yourself, Jack. Thanks a lot for having me on, Jack. You ignorant simp.
Hello. My name is Jimmy. I live in Denver. You are listening to Jackie Magnum's deadpan podcast. I like him. He makes me giggle.
This is our first quick break. Lots more interview to come. But now let's get into an unrelated thought. In spite of George Lucas's intention, the Star Wars films are still best viewed in order of release, not episode number. Watch 4 through 6 first, then 1 through 3. The Luke
I am your father
scene in Empire loses so much dramatic impact if you already know this from watching episode 3. And alright, since that one was kind of straight, here's a goofier, unrelated thought. Should I be more concerned that the fish tank algae smells like seafood? Or that it tastes kind of like shrimp when spread on a cracker?
Dumbass Memories.
Hi, this is Paul in Elk River with a Dumbass Memory. A couple of years ago, I went to see an in-store appearance by They Might Be Giants. I showed up very early, planning to shop until the crowd started to develop. As I was standing near the magazine rack, a guy was looking through magazines as well, and I looked over and said, "Geez, this guy's dressed up, looks just like Flansburgh." Then, when Linnell came around the corner a little bit later, I realized my error and casually strolled away. Minnesotans don't really do the crazed fan thing. So it was clear the store manager didn't have a clue what was going on. This was an appearance in support of the No album, and apparently he was ready for 30 or 40 small children and their parents. In the stage area, there were four rows of chairs. I opted to stand with my back to a support pillar, as I know I'm too tall for anybody's good. So Flansburgh was talking to the store manager and said they needed to strike the chairs aside because they could use the space to get more crowd into the area. Then Flansburgh started stacking up the chairs. I thought I'd pitch in and stacked up some of the chairs on the opposite end, and we sort of met in the middle. Where do you think we should strike these two? I said. Oh, where do you usually store them? Said Flansburgh. Oh, I don't work here. I just thought I'd help. Flansburgh just kind of looked at me funny then, so I went back over and stood next to the pillar.
All right, sounds like that needs new batteries. All right, I'm going to just shut up now. You're not going to hear from me again, except for during the interview. You're about to hear the gong. Yeah, we're going to continue our interview now with the other side of TD-0013, and that's going to run for a while. So, except for that, you're not going to hear from me again until the end. On now at the official gong for the man inside the TD-0013 armor. No. Here's the real interview. All right, well, Deadpan listeners, we spoke to TD-0013, and now we're going to talk a little bit further with a guy who's sort of close to TD-0013 and has a voice eerily similar. Kevin, thank you for being on the Deadpan.
No problem, Jack.
Well, there's plenty of stuff to cover. So first things first, then. Tell us about the babes on your site.
Oh, the show the love portion of the website.
Right, the show the love on at 80. Well, get this out of the way. www.adpov.net.
Correct. Yes, adpov.net. Yeah, the show the love thing. It's kind of funny how that happened because when I first got the website for a different point of view, I thought, oh, something that I'd seen on other sites way back when. You know, a lot of blogs used to do this. And that was, you know, hey, send me a picture of you holding up a sign with my website address on it. And, you know, how you're showing your support, yada, yada, yada. And I thought, okay, you know, that'll be cool. Because this way I'll kind of have a visual record of, hey, these are people who like what I'm doing. Plus, it's kind of like proof to the rest of the world of, well, I can't be so horrible because look at all these people who like what I'm doing. And, of course, you know, everything on that website is done primarily in character. As TD. And so, of course, even when I was writing that page, setting it up, I put, you know, women are welcome to use, you know, phrases like TD-0013 makes me have to check my moisture harvesters, yada, yada. You know, I was getting crude with it just because that's how TD is.
Right.
And son of a bitch, so far those are the only pictures I've gotten are, you know, imagine my surprise to open up email and find, you know, beautiful blue glitter-covered bosoms with, you know, we alien chicks love 13 written across them. You know, that's cool. I don't care how you wear your hat. You know, that's just cool. So that's kind of taken off. And every time I put one up, I still try and stress the fact that, you know, you can just send a picture holding up a sign that says, we like TD-0013. It doesn't matter if you're man, woman, beast. I don't care. You know. That's really initially all that was for. And if I get enough of those, then the whole alien babes thing, which I'm still hip with, keep sending those too, maybe that'll get its own area. You know, okay. Maybe those will turn into wallpapers and other cool things later on.
Right, the rated R version and then the rated, you know, G or PG version.
I haven't gotten any. I got one. Oh.
All right, you can't.
Yeah, there's a story I can't go into. I got one. That's definitely R-rated, and it was not from somebody I wanted to get it from. It was absolutely, you know, in retrospect, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, but it's too disturbing for human consumption. Trust me, you'll thank me if you never, ever, ever find out about the Jedi. That's all I'm going to say.
Should you have used the word consumption?
Well, that's true, yeah. Even seeing it with your eyes is well, you're still kind of consuming it, though. You know, well, anyway.
So anyway, Kevin is a good guest here, and we want to move on from that image and get on to other topics.
Yes, please.
So talk a little bit about, you know, adpov.net doesn't exist just to have pictures of, you know, breasts with writing on them. There's a...
So you say, no, you're right.
Well, go on.
Well, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, adpov.net, the main purpose of that website is, you know, its original purpose was just a place for me to put the different ADP, you know, a different point of view segments up separate from winging it. Because up to that point... There was the patiobooks.com thing, which really worked well. But even before that, people were asking for, hey, where can I get the segments separate from the rest of the show? Absolutely no slight to Mike and Evo from my end of things, but I mean, people were literally like, you know, it's my favorite part of the show. I don't want to, I find myself fast forwarding through the whole wing and it just to get to the different point of view. So, which is incredibly flattering for a hack like me. So,
well, except when Duel of the Fates was on too, then they would, you know,
that's true. Yes. Yes. Right. They were glued to, well, the ones with TD-001-3 in them, apparently.
Right, right. Of course.
It's all about me. But anyway, that was originally the intent of the site, was to have a place where listeners could go and download the different points of view segments in their entirety by themselves without all the, as Mark Foreman, I believe, is the man who coined it, without the annoying Mike and Evo bumpers.
Right, right.
Which is still one of the funniest damn lines I've ever read. But, you know, but I also knew that I wanted it to be more than that, because otherwise it'd be a very boring site if it was just you go there and there's a list of files that you download. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started doing the blog, which really this isn't my first blog, but it's the first one I've religiously made a point to do every day if I'm in town, because sometimes my job will send me out of town. But if I'm at home, then every day, or at least every other day, I try and have a new something posted up there. But I've got wall, you know, there's wallpapers up there. There is an answering machine message that you can download to where TD is answering your phone.
Nice.
There's a cartoon, new cartoon area, which just opened 2 weeks ago or a week ago. Anyway, whenever this airs, you know, who knows? Cause I don't know. You know, right. I'm a dope, but, There's a lot of stuff. And it even talks a little bit about the many faces of TD-001-3, because there's like four or five different incarnations of the character.
Okay.
As I figured out in life, is like, Jesus, there's five different incarnations of the same thing. So
I'd always kind of thought that, and no, don't think I haven't zipped around your site. I definitely like the site. I love the cartoons from Board Q, which are fantastic that you just mentioned. But
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the many faces of TD.
It's just pretty much one page, and it just shows, you know, a photo or graphic, and it just kind of talks about it. Like, you know, there's the 501st, you know, the 501st Stormtrooper Legion, TD-001-3, which is really, you know, 6 years ago, that's really where it all started.
Okay.
There's a photo of me in the gear at a hospital visiting a child. Then there's the Star Wars Galaxies 13, which is still TD-001-3. It's just the video game version. Then there's the action figure, which really blew my mind when that was dropped in my lap. You know, I literally got an email from someone saying, hey, have you been to this store? You know, it's a little, you know, I'll give a plug. Toy Anxiety is the name of the store. And you can go to toyanxiety.com, I think. But anyway, one of their employees makes custom action figures, and he made one of me with the helmet off. And it was eerily accurate as to how much it looked like me. And then there is TD, the cartoon strip. So, really, I guess there's four incarnations of the same character.
That Toy Anxiety, that's a local Phoenix.
Yeah, that's a Phoenix thing. But they do have a website, and they do internet ordering. And so if you're really a toy geek, that's a really great website to go to.
Okay. But enough about them.
Yes.
Let's talk 501st a little bit. Now, I know that you've often said that that TD-001-3, from a different point of view, being kind of an ornery and kind of sometimes even controversial bastard, he's not actually – you try and distance him from – 501st a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, TD-001-3, from a different point of view, I try and separate from the 501st as far as I humanly can, which is why I go out of my way. There are links to the 501st from ADPOV, and that decision actually came after a lot of thought. Because normally, I don't mind linking to them, but I really don't want them linking to me, not because I have any shame about the 501st, but because, like you said, TD is very controversial, foul-mouthed, you know, crude, lewd. He's a soldier. He's a guy in the army, for God's sake. And, you know, you don't necessarily want him to be your front man, the face that the public associates with the 501st.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Well, actually, there's a perfect segue I wanted to ask you about. Have you and or TD ever gotten any interesting? Have you must have pissed some people off out there, you know, with your comments. Yeah, got any good stories about people who were either in jest or seriously pissed off?
I've got a lot of in jest. You know, people will write saying, you know, oh, the rebellion's great and TD's an idiot and yada yada, the Empire sucks, blah blah blah. But those are usually in jest. The closest I've gotten to where I really thought somebody was serious was for a while before ADPOV.net. I actually posted the transcripts of, I think, the first five or just five different ADPOVs. I posted them up on StarWars.com in their blog section. Because I figured, hey, they're the target audience. You know, they're going to get the joke. Because that is a fear I have. Is sometimes I'll make references to Leeku and Jawas and Tusken, and most average people just scratch their heads and they have no freaking idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
And only the real good geeks know this stuff. So I posted them up on StarWars.com, and with that I got, it was the midichlorians what the fuck segment was the one I got the most heated responses from, because, you know, literally one guy was like, how dare you sully the name of Shmi Skywalker, blah, blah, blah. And he was serious. And, you know, which is why on the page or on the website, ADPOV.net, there is a page called Who the Fairfeck,
okay,
which Fairfeck is a word invented by the beautiful, talented Karen Travis, right, for who is the author of Star Wars Republic Commando series. And it's the F-bomb. It's the only, because it's the only word that's not in any of the translations of the dictionary she's written about the Mandalorian language. Fairfeck. Who the Fairfeck? And it just, it tells kind of like who TD is and what you can expect. And at the bottom it flat out says, you know, just so you know, this is a parody.
Right.
If you honestly think I'm dead serious, then you have some issues. I can't believe I even have to tell you this, but I'm telling you anyway. Is what it says on the website.
Well, no, I was pissed off by that. I mean, who the fuck are you making fun of Shmi Skywalker? I mean, who do you think you are?
I'm a loyal soldier of the Empire, man. I'm a guy with a brain in his head who ain't falling for the whole Immaculate Conception thing.
Yeah, that was honestly, and I've said this before to you, you know, offline. That was my favorite of the ADPOVs, because that had bothered me from the moment it came on screen. I just wanted to stand up and scream bullshit. So I'm so glad that you came out and said it.
Oh, absolutely.
So definitely cool. I don't know. That guy must have been her old boyfriend or something.
Well, I still think it was Watto. That's all I have to say, man. It was Watto because nobody else was around her enough.
Yeah, that's a kind of a creepy. I mean, Anakin, I guess, came out to be a pretty good-looking guy, considering then, you know, if that's.
Well, you know, I
guess he shaved. He shears off the wings every time.
Well, you know, it's often been said that when two beautiful people make a child, 9 times out of 10, it's pretty ugly. Right. And you get two really, really grotesque people, it's 50-50. It can either be, you know, the kind of kid that makes your skin melt off like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, or you get this incredibly beautiful child. So, because neither one of them were any good looking. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know the actress's name, and I apologize because I'm sure she's a huge fan of your show.
Right,
and mine, of course, right? But she's not a handsome woman. That's the nicest way I can say it. I literally saw a picture of her on a website once and, like, yeah, you know, kind of jumped back because I was like, yeah, just not a handsome woman.
Well, you should have seen her, though, when she danced for the Hutts, though. You know, she was pretty foxy in that bikini.
Oh, thanks. There's something I'm going to need a mental wash for.
Yeesh.
Hey Jack, this is Danny in NC, and I chose to steal a few lyrics from a song that makes me really hot right now. It's called Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls. Typical, hardly the type I fall for. I like when the physical don't leave me asking for more. I'm a sexy mama who knows just how to get what I want, and what I want to do is spring this on you. Back up all the things that I told you. You've been saying all the right things all night long, but I can't seem to get you over here to help take this off. Baby, can't you see how these clothes are fitting on me and the heat coming from this beat? I'm about to blow, but I don't think you know. I'm telling you to loosen up my buttons, baby, but you keep fronting, saying what you gonna do to me, but I ain't seen nothing.
Deadpanites, give me some Tomy, baby.
Hey, I know I said I wasn't going to say anything else until the end, but Jeremy from Seattle made this cool little earbuds intro. Thanks, Jeremy. You rock.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hey, Deadpan, it's Andrea. I'm calling with my Stupid Tuesday new purchases from iTunes. I actually skipped last week, so some of the things I got today actually came out last week, so forgive me if I'm a week off here. First of all, there was a new Helmet album. I don't know if anyone here listens to Helmet, but they are a really, really, really awesome band. And they have a new album out called Monochrome, and I've listened to it twice already, and it fucking rocks. So please, everyone, go check it out. The other thing I got was Muse, Black Holes and Revelations, another awesome band. I think that one came out last week. I think Helmet is from this week. I don't really know. But Muse is really, really, really cool. So everyone should check them out, too. The other thing I got, or that I didn't get, but I saw, they have a Best of Delirium. They're an electronic band. Delirium is actually a side project of the band Frontline Assembly. And they are just, they're really cool. So this Best of Delirium album is something that everyone should listen to also. If you like electronic music, that is. Besides that, there is, in the Latin section, which I'm sure none of you go to, but there's this Mexican rock band called Mana that they have a new album coming out next month, but they just released a new single, and they're kind of cool. They're a pretty cool band. It's all in Spanish, though, so, you know, you guys probably won't really like listening to it, but I think that was all that I got. There was a free single of the week. Was Blackstone Cherry. I didn't really like it, but it was very, you know, typical grunge. So if you're a fan of grunge from the 90s, you'll probably really, really dig it. And it's free, so just go listen to it because it's cool. How else can you get a free song? Legally, I should say. And I think that's it. Have a good week. Bye.
So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit more about you. Let's talk about, you know, just like we did with TD and most of my guests, talk about your past, present, and future with this character.
Well, like I kind of mentioned a little bit, TD started off, you know, he was born about 6 years ago when I got my first suit of armor and joined the 501st. And even then, you know, before there's podcasting, before there's any of this stuff, I had always kind of made it my mission to convert people because, you know, I got sick and tired of people spitting at me, calling me a bad guy. I'm like, no, I'm not the bad guy here. You've got the fucking story wrong. So I had always done that. I'd done that, you know, at conventions. I'd get an argument, you know, heated arguments with people. You know, I mean, obviously in jest and in fun, but heated arguments, you know, about how, you know, no, really, we're the good guys. And I had started, and I ran into Mike and Evo at a book signing with Timothy Zahn, and they interviewed myself and one of our troopers, Josh, for their, at the time, their live fire show, Dragon Page, which was on a local radio station here, KFYI, and I believe it was also syndicated in certain cities where they have three teeth. I don't know, but... So I'd become somewhat of a, not a regular, but a repeat guest on that show, primarily because I used to work for a video game company, or for a retailer of video games. So they would have me come in and talk about games, and then also the 501st connection, find out what the troopers were up to, that kind of thing. And then when that was starting to wind down, and the podcasting thing was starting to be in the planning stages, they had actually asked me to be a contributor. And so, I didn't want to spend 5 minutes plugging the 501st or the video game store I worked for. So I asked Michael, I said, well, what do you think I should do? You know, he says, well, do something in character. So that was it. I just kind of decided, okay, that's it. Every argument I've ever had, I'm going to figure out a way to just put and do it audio. And I didn't want it to just be me, a screaming geek on the phone, arguing over, no, because, see, Darth Vader would never have done that because, you know, I don't get into that. You know, I'm not even into the Vader thing. I'm a trooper guy. So I figured, okay, let's take it from the point of view of the lowliest guy in the Army. You know, he just joined the Army because he's a patriot. What does he think? And so, you know, that's really where everything kind of came from, was my own experiences in the military, because I am prior service. So every squad, every squadron, every ship, everywhere has that guy. The one guy who, no matter what, he's always griping about something. Something is always pissing him off. And yeah, honestly, when I was in the service, I was that guy. I mean, you know, I wear that fact like a, you know, badge on my sleeve, and I'm okay with that. But I figured that was the character I wanted to bring out, because that was somebody I think that everyone can kind of understand and
grasp, relate to.
Yeah, relate to. Thank you. That was the kind of guy everyone could relate to. He is, as they put in so eloquently in Saving Private Ryan, he's a consummate gripe artist. That's what he does.
All right. Yeah, he's familiar, right? I mean, everyone knows the guy who's just always kind of bitching about, you know, what's going on around him. And I think he really captured that. It's no surprise that he got so popular. That
no surprise to you, maybe. Blew my mind.
Really? Well, I guess I've seen a little bit of that myself, but tell me about it. You really didn't think that was going to take off?
No. Not at all. Yeah. I never dreamed. I figured, like, you know, two or three people may get a kick out of it, but I didn't think it would take off the way it did. You know, I certainly didn't expect, you know, the boob pictures. I mean, that's, you know, I never expected those. The whole TD comic strip thing was another, it literally dropped in my lap. I woke up one morning before work, checked my email. There's an email from this guy named Bort Q, and he says, hey, you know, I'm Bort Q. I used to do artwork for Starlog magazine, and, you know, I really like a different point of view, and here's 5 cartoons based on your character. And literally, that's how the TD comic strip started. I never contacted the guy. He contacted me, just said, hey, I want to do this. And so now I abuse him regularly. You know, now I'm like, hey, I got a project. This is what you need to draw. Thanks. And Bort's awesome. He's a great artist. I think he really captures, you know, the best parts of everything and just blows them up bigger, you know, which is what a great cartoonist does. But, yeah, he's done a lot of work for Starlog magazine. So I have somebody of that caliber just show up and go, hey, I want you to do something. Or I want to do something for you. Mm-hmm. I want to help you because you've inspired me. I'm a fan of your work. That's weird. And, you know, on another, nothing against Bort, but an even bigger personal thing for me is Karen Travis.
Right. Star Wars author.
Star Wars Republic Commando author and trooper goddess Karen Travis is apparently a fan of my site, which stokes me beyond any belief because I'm a huge fan of her work. She is probably, and apologies to Zahn and Stackpole and all you guys. I love you guys. You're good Joes, and I like your stuff, but she's my favorite. She's probably the only author I think I've ever gushed about is Karen Travis because she gets it. She understands the trooper thing. And that was the first thing I noticed when I read her first book, which was her first Republic Commando book, Republic Commando Hard Contact, it was written from the point of view of a trooper. You know, granted, it's a clone trooper, so it's a little bit different, but she understands it, you know, because of her past experience with military and things of that nature.
So her stuff is set back in the old days, in the young Anakin days.
Yeah, the prequel days, the Clone Wars.
Right, okay. So I guess there isn't much chance then that we'll see, or maybe if she starts on a new tack, maybe we'll see a TD make an appearance in one of her books.
I wouldn't even go that far to say that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, I'd scream like a girl and dance the happy dance of joy, but.
Well, you know, Miss Travis, I apologize. You know, I'm not putting any pressure on you to do that. You know, but hopefully, you know, hopefully someday that can happen. That'd be cool.
Well, it would, but I, you know. No. I don't think she wants to ruin her career this quickly. So.
Now, actually, that's something I wanted to ask TD, but I'll ask you. Now, TD, he's active during the original trilogy. That's when he's at work?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Correct. Yeah, right. That's the kind of, the point of view is that, well, see, that's the thing about TD, is I kind of, he's in character. He's absolutely in character. He is a trooper of the Empire during the original trilogy, during, you know, the rebellion. But at the same time, he exists now. And a lot of the, you know, even in character, he refers to the films. Because right. He has to dumb it down for you people. No. I mean, this way you understand that that's the evidence. I try not to go too much into expanded universe. I try and keep my evidence on and how I can prove my points of view, I try and keep it to the six films. So he often refers to everything. He refers to the films flat out. You know, he'll say things like, we don't see one trooper anywhere near the Lars farm. But yet everyone assumes that the stormtroopers are the guys who killed Ballard. Well, we don't have any proof of that.
Right, right. Now, did that one get any? Because I remember Michael Meninge said this is going to get a whole bunch of flack.
He had said that they had heard some, they got some comments on it, but I never did. Me personally, I never got anything about the Lars incident, as I call it.
All right, let's do two more questions and then get out of here because we're running a little long, but that's fine.
This is gold, man.
Yeah, okay. Seriously, you know, this is...
It's the best fucking show you've ever done, Jack.
Right, this is this is like the special editions, you know. This
there
is.
You
I'll drop in Jabba the
Hutt. And then I'll talk first.
Yeah,
you never know.
Exactly.
Totally screw the entire flow of the thing up, and then we'll just swear up and down that that was the original vision that I'd had. And my son, Jet, thought that... which you've actually pulled that crap on me, now that I think about it. You pulled a Lucas.
You pulled
a Lucas. Okay, this is good because this is your audience that I can point this out to. You pulled a Lucas on me, and here's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Duel of the Fates 2.
Mm-hmm.
I, by no means of my own, made it. Well, TD made it all the way to the finals against Dr. Evil, which I think would have been comedy gold. But instead... We get this special edition crap, and then this is the Lucas. This is where you pulled the Lucas. Your kid decides who wins. Because your kid said, well, I like Gandalf because he's got a funny nose or something. That's who – it's because he's a good guy. Yeah, I know. I listened. But you pulled a George Lucas, man. That was absolutely my kids like NSYNC, so I thought they'd be a great guest shot cameo. That's exactly what you did.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I should do a special edition where NSYNC wins Duel of the Fates
2. Why not? You know?
No, you can't come on my own show and criticize me. I'm just going to delete all that.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's fine. That'll be on the super duper special edition, where you'll have that entire deleted scene.
Right, and I'll throw in extra Boba Fett.
Why not?
Yeah, there you go. Well, well, yeah, you know, we didn't even touch on that, but that was cool. Actually, I did ask Kevin's permission to use TD in Duel of the Fates 2, and he was very gracious about doing it. And, yeah, I felt like he got a raw deal. He should have won.
I don't at all. I mean, because honestly, I mean, in all seriousness, I was honored that this stupid character that I'd made up was even considered to go up against... I mean, honestly, real icons of American pop culture. So when I get this email from this author, Jack Mangan, who I'd never heard of yet.
He's a hack. Go ahead.
You know, I find out later he is. But anyway, no, he's not. He's a very talented writer. And now we're doing third person again. But I get a letter from our buddy Jack here, and he asked me if he can use TD. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Why would you put... this stupid thing that I've made up anywhere near the likes of Spider-Man. And okay, number one, I will be the first one to call bullshit. Ash should have kicked his ass. Period. We're talking about Ash. Yeah. Ash at should have won. Ash should always win, period. Yeah. I don't give a fuck who he's up against. Ash should always win.
I got the most angry emails about Ash losing to Godzilla, I have to say, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a... Yeah, there's not much you can do aside from him getting smashed.
But anyway, enough about me. You know, you're talking about TD in Duel. Give us a little bit of an idea of what to expect in the future from TD, and we'll, that'll take us out.
Okay, future of TD and or ADPOV.net. Video iPods kind of becoming a big thing these days. That's actually the next avenue I want to go, I'm thinking.
Cool.
That doesn't mean I'm going to get rid of the audio-only versions of A Different Point of View. This just means that I'm going to pull a George Lucas, and I'm going to grab all the old segments, and I'm going to film them now. And they're going to be done with full gear, backgrounds. You know, I don't know if I'm going to do a green screen. I don't know if I'm going to build sets, but we're going to have everything you hear in the backgrounds of The Different Point of View, you're going to see.
Wow.
And, you know, so that's kind of where I want to go with that. As far as what else is down the road, I'm on my second album, I guess you could say, because I can't fit any more different points of view on one CD. So now I'm working on CD number two. So
cool.
When people get them, they'll be getting twin packs now.
Well, you can make it a double album and call it the White Album.
No, I'm kind of pissed because I missed out my opportunity to do my own thing that I always wanted to do, and that was the first album should always be called Greatest Hits. Just to throw everyone off, and I missed that opportunity. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you've given us some great hits over the past couple of years now. I mean, TD's been at this for a while, and let's hope that there's many more years to come.
Well, thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
So, all right, we're back now to just me, Jack Mangan.
He would have an enormous Schwanstucke.
I'm here to wrap things up. Thank you to everyone who contributed, and thank you very much to Kevin and TD0013 for being on. We're going to close out with a song called Tears of Liquid Mercury, and it's a pretty damn sloppy recording. I'm not that happy with it, but I like the piece of music, and one day on Deadpan, you'll hear the improved recording. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of Deadpan. Contribute to the comments. I may not be in there for a few days, but you know, you guys keep doing what you're doing and have fun and enjoy yourselves. Next week, Deadpan will be 17, which is still too young for you. All right, I'm not coming back after the music. We'll finish off with Sloppy, Tears of Liquid Mercury.